This is a replay of the Wednesday night, November 15th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we continue to vote on the world's worst hit records. We have 3 hours to spend together, but the first hour, I am delighted to welcome back Steve Probst. Now, he's only going to spend an hour with us, so as often happens, hour's about to end, you've got 10 questions, and I say, can you hang on? Well, the answer tonight is no, he can't. So, with that in mind, if you have questions, and he is the definitive argument settler, even his books will tell you that, then he's the guy to ask. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And when I say he's the definitive argument settler, there's always a discussion on what was the first rock and roll record. And Steve, along with Jim Dawson, wrote a book about it. In fact, too, the update 30 years later was released just last year. So, Steve, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope this isn't the worst of the 3 hours, just like the worst of the rock and roll records.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it'll be wonderful. I've been absolutely looking forward to it. And, I'm sure that you've got a bunch of nominees. And, of course, we do this in fun because they're hit records, so somebody laughed all the way to the bank. But
right.
I have never revealed the one that embarrasses me that I can say is the world's worst, because it's one of those records that people revere and talk about, and I say, please save me. And you may not agree, but you'll know all about it. And what I'd put on the list was Angel Baby, Rosie and the Originals. So what I want to know is, I guess in your mind, A, why is that like the biggest East L.A. oldie of all times? And what on earth possessed them?
Well, I'll tell you what possessed them. This is, as far as my research indicates, and I do a lot of it, is the first record that reached the top five in America that had no adult involvement in its making. It was all teenagers getting together, Mexican-American teenagers to be specific, in the San Diego area and saying, let's take Rosie's love poem, because she's always lovesick over her boyfriend, Noah Tafoya, and turn her lovesickness into a song called Angel Baby. And they went to hangar, an aircraft manufacturing abandoned hangar, I don't know exactly what it was, in Santee, California, and you've spent time in that area, so you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do.
Recorded the record, and they had acetates after they only had one side. They had to put the label, I should say, the criminal syndicate label that put the record out. They didn't have a flip side, so they threw on a local blues singer as a flip side. They only did one side. These kids didn't really have their finger on all the niceties of making a hit record. So they had acetates. Each of these, I think there were five band members, including Rosie, and they took the they each had five, one acetate apiece, and they took it around and tried to sell it, and one of the members took it to a department store, and it was played over the intercom. And by that time, it had been played so much there was a little defect on the recording. Somebody had scratched it or popped it or something. Yeah. So they played it, and it so happened someone from Highland Records out of L.A. Heard the song over the intercom and contacted the kids, and next thing you know, it's a national hit, and you might not like it. You might think it's the worst, but it's also one of the most durable songs in the history of rock and roll, being a mainstay of certain radio stations to this day. I mean, to this very minute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now the late Art LeBeau. I mean, he was synonymous with this for, 60, 70 years easily. Well, since it came out, actually. But was it Sid Talmadge at Highland?
Oh, gee, what a coincidence. That's exactly the person. And he didn't have a contract with him, and he had him record other stuff and kept putting it out, put out the other stuff under no kind of agreement at all. And they were signed by Brunswick Records to do a follow-up record and LP. So they get to New York, these five kids, and they're supposed to record the next day, and the Brunswick Records tells them to have 12 new songs ready to go, and they didn't have any new songs, so they had to spend the night prior to the recording session creating 12 new songs, which they did. And it shows if you listen to the album.
I was going to say, I'm thankful that none of those hit, or I'd have more. Now, what's interesting, of course, when I think of Sid Talmadge or even Highland Records, there's a few acts I can think of, but the one I've always wondered about was Mike and the Sensations were on Highland. And,
oh, yeah, Victim of Circumstance.
Yes, right. I laugh every time I hear Victim of Circumstance. So,
fabulous record. That originally was on a different label. Highland picked it up from Mike Kirkland is the name of the singer, and picked it up from his small label and put it out, and it was huge on KGFJ, as you well know.
Oh, yeah. Now, it wasn't the fault of There's Nothing I Can Do About It.
Oh, yeah, great songs.
Yeah.
Mike and the Sensations, spelled with a C.
Of course.
Confused with the Let Me In Sensation.
I guess that's why he did, although I figured he was just being hip at the time, but why not? Yeah, so and that would never be on my list. So I've done True Confessions now about the record that even John Lennon called one of his all-time favorites that would be on my list. So in moments, I'm going to ask Steve to go behind the veil and tell me what, maybe some of them are, where he's saying, yeah, hit, but. All right. Now, the nice thing about Mike and the Sensations, and it is a wonderful record, but is that it wasn't a hit, so you can't vote on it. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, of course, Steve's latest work, those old school records, and I've got a link right at raleigh.net to purchase it. And by the way, get the updated version of what was the first rock and roll record, because you'll find it will be an argument settler. So all that and more coming up, but I know if you listen to me, you love radio, and if you love radio, you should know Bob Crane. He should be knighted for his work with Reception. He, like many of us, just loathed the reception of current radios years ago and said, you know, I can do better than this. And going back to the radios of the 50s and 60s where AM was just magnificent. Well, he did. But not only that, every radio that Bob Crane has does something else, and there are so many neat features. But one of the throwbacks that I truly love is the EP Pro. I've got one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom. And what I like about it, it's slide rule dial tuning, the simplicity of needle and dial tuning. So no bells, no whistles, no clocks, no digital, no alarm, no nothing. Just one button for power, one button for a bright light display. The closest thing to finesse you'll get is there is a tone switch in bass and treble control. But other than that, it takes you back to yesteryear, but more to the point, it gives you the reception of yesteryear. It's got that twin coil antenna, which makes AM listening amazing. And it sounds surprisingly similar to FM, so that's great too. Great FM section as well. It'll put anything else you've got in the dust. It's also got a line in, so since I like the speaker on it, you can connect your smartphone for audiobooks or anything else you want to hear a lot better. You can go online anytime, ccradio.com, ccradio.com. And you can order the CC EP Pro and look around. The only danger is you'll find something you just gotta have. Now, if you can't go online, if you're really old school, well, they've got the best phone customer service ever. Give them a call. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Or as I say, go to ccradio.com. Of course, you can get instantaneous shipping through things like Amazon or Bi-Mart or things like that. But if you want the real deal experience and great information as well as great products, it's ccradio.com. And the satisfaction guarantee is extended through February. So if it turns out you don't agree with me, just send it back. Tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. Sections of, well, certainly all of East LA, but certain sections of the world. Yeah, hard to believe. 888-876-5593. It's WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm talking with Steve Propes, his latest, those old school records. But I was mentioning what was the first rock and roll record, and the 30th anniversary edition is out, but so many more. And one of them that I consider just an absolute outstanding work in terms of history is 45 RPM, The History, Heroes, and Villains of Pop Music Revolution. And I still have that close to my bed on my bookshelf. And I just think it's great because very few people, Steve, as you well know, really got into the bottom line to the argument between Columbia and RCA. I just love it.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a fascinating story of the battle of the speeds, and they were messing around with different speeds. And in it was March of 1949 that RCA put out a set of multicolored vinyl records that would fit no other turntable except, guess what, the RCA
yes,
turntable
exactly.
That was put on the market at the same time. So the marketing trick was that RCA went around to radio stations and said, we'll install brand new record players for you. Just trust us. And when the brand new record players were installed, they could play only 45s. And guess what? They could only play RCA Victor releases. What's going on here?
Now, it's interesting because, of course, Columbia, as you note in your book, a few months before that had come up with the long-playing 33 and a third LP. And, of course, they made it sound like, oh, they're aghast. They would never have a 7-inch single. And suddenly, the new Columbia 7-inch microgroove record. The only problem was it was 33 and a third. What was the story there?
Yeah, it was sort of a compromise, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it had the small center hole, but some of them had the, well, it was an experiment to see if they could market the long play record with the same center hole as the new 45. Modern Records picked up on that design, but it didn't last very long. Columbia had to give in and started putting out regular 45s, and RCA started coming up with LPs. So they both, I guess they both won the battle of the speeds, because that's what we got. The only compromise was the EP. That's sort of a 45 RPM LP, but it's an extended play, not a long play. So that lasted maybe a decade. EPs were out there. Lots of Elvis Presley EPs were issued, and that's sort of like the battle of the speeds. It was a good run. Records are still being pressed up. I mean, the prediction was, well, CDs are going to do in vinyl. Vinyl won't be around, but vinyl seems to have outlasted compact discs, because I don't know if there's too much activity in the compact disc field right now.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And of course, the early compact discs, as you well know, our music, the algorithms really couldn't produce what the sound, and the initial CDs were just terrible. They finally got to a point where they were passable. But, you know, you mentioned like Modern Records, the Bahari Brothers. I could see an independent saying, you know, I'm going to go for that. But the other thing, that the subtext while here is RCA and Columbia Battle of the Giants, you had a lot of little guys who not only had labels, but had their own pressing plants, like Leon Rene at Exclusive and Excelsior. And boy, when 78 went out, this was curtains initially for some of these players.
Oh, yeah. Exclusive went out of business, and Rene came up with the Class label with his son, Googie Rene, right after Exclusive sort of folded in 1949. That was the home of Joe Liggins and his Honey Drippers. That was the act that put Exclusive on the map and kept him there for all of the 1940s. But 1940 was a pivotal year, and established labels folded, but new, some labels like Swing Time and even Excelsior, Otis Rene's label, sort of hung in there on the 45, but not for very long.
Yeah, you mentioned Googie, and I'll tell you, Class had, of course, they had Bobby Day that everybody knows and all that. But they had some terrific, terrific records. I think Bob and Earl G. Wiz is one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful record. Robert Byrd, who later became Bobby Day, was the original Bob and Earl Nelson of the Hollywood Flames. Those two singers came up with the Hollywood Flames and did some fabulous records, Gee Whiz being one of them.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, some of the independent labels didn't have their own pressing, so they certainly survived the format change because it wasn't a big deal. But one that really survived it, and I don't know if he had his own pressing, you probably would, and that was Fraternity, Sid Nathan. They really were able to survive, which is somewhat surprising for a little label from Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, Fraternity was not Sid Nathan, and I forget the name of the entrepreneur that had it going, but
I'm sorry, I'm not thinking of Fraternity. I'm thinking of Federal. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Federal.
Oh, Federal, yeah.
Federal.
Okay,
King.
Sure,
yeah, right. No, Fraternity is a whole other deal. Federal and King. Yeah, that's Sid.
Federal, Deluxe, and...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, King started out as the Queen label, you know, Cincinnati,
right.
The Queen City.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it was the King label was an offshoot of Queen, and the early Kings, there was some race music, it was called, in the 1940s before Rhythm and Blues.
Excuse me, hang on a minute. I just realized the news is going to interrupt us, but we will be back in moments, and we will pick it up right there with Steve Probst and Sid Nathan and Federal and King and everything else, and you can join us at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
My name is Maggie. The story you're about to hear is true.
Maggie!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is the Platters. They're on Federal, talking about Sid Nathan, Queen, King, and Federal. a guy who had his own pressing plant, but certainly made the most of the coming 45. And Steve Probst knows the whole story and so much more. You can read all about all sorts of stuff like that in 45 RPM, The History, Heroes, and Villains of a Pop Music Revolution. And I recommend it strongly. But the current book is also an excellent read, those old school records. And I've got a link right at Raleigh.net to that. So sorry to interrupt you, Steve. All right, so we'll pick it up with Sid Nathan. There he is at Queen Records, King Records, Federal. He's got his own whole kind of empire going, doing everything with 78s.
In the 40s, it was a lot of country acts like the Delmore Brothers,
right.
And Homer and Jethro,
yes.
and some of those big stars were on King Records, along with the Bull Moose Jackson and Wynonie Harris, Good
right.
Rockin' Tonight. I mean, it was oftentimes a country act would redo a rhythm and blues hit. For instance, 60 Minute Man was redone, I think, by the York Brothers on King. He would have hits in one field, rhythm and blues, and give it to a country act and try to get the country coin out of that same composition.
Oh, yeah.
It was an all-purpose factory, warehouse, pressing plant in Cincinnati. The Federal label was an offshoot of King Records. A producer, talent scout by the name of Rene Hall, was assigned to find an act. He was in New York at the time, and he saw Billy Ward and the Dominoes on the Ted Mack Amateur Hour on TV in 1950. I guess there was enough TVs around that made an impact, and so he recommended Billy Ward and the Dominoes with Clyde McFadder on lead to Sid Nathan. They had one record called Do Something For Me that didn't do something for most people, but the next record was 60 Minute Man, and is a talk about an enduring hit record. That's got spins for decades up to this moment.
It's still one of the top 10 beach music records of all time. Of course, it's a wonderful song. And Sid, in many ways, seemed like the guy least likely, because you're right. He did absolutely started in country, and then realized that R&B was a big deal. But here was a guy who built a whole business around the 78. Yet, unlike Leon Rene, who, man, it pretty much crushed him for quite a while, Sid was able to quickly retool and became kind of the 45 king. And from my understanding, he did a lot of custom pressings for people, Vanity Records, and all that kind of stuff. What made him work?
Well, I think he was a pretty sharp businessman. He had his own pressing plant. That was the same thing that kept Modern Records going from 78s to 45s. A pressing plant and I think a railroad spur at your warehouse helped a lot. So he had the whole he had all ends of the business plan fully developed. It was, of course, when James Brown came to town in 1955 and recorded Please, Please, Please,
yeah.
which Sid Nathan hated. He sounded like he's repeating the same words all over again, which, of course, he was.
Yeah.
But Ralph Bass, another producer, excuse me, I've got a little lingering whatever I had. When he highly recommended James Brown, well, Sid Nathan signed on, and that was the act. James Brown kept King Records in business until late 70s, probably into the 1980s. So
it's
he had
so
a good
fun.
Long run and a record company years, selling lots and lots of product.
What's fascinating to me about that is, of course, you're so right that James Brown really kept King alive more than any other soul. Not only did Sid hate Please, 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 but along the way, many things that James wanted to do, like when James wanted to do a live album, no, I can't do that. It was Henry Stone at Tone who had to come in. And, when he was doing the instrumental riffs, with the JBs, no, you can't do that. And it's funny that in spite of everything he didn't want to do, he was successful.
Yeah, well, I think that, maybe he protested a little too much. I think that he made his mark by protesting, but knew that the artist had the right idea all along. I mean, come on, when he put out Work With Vianney by the Royals, soon to be Hank Ballard and the Midnighters,
yeah.
that was that was sort of sort of shocking at the time.
Especially for Cincinnati. There he is in Norwood, Ohio. He's putting this stuff out. Cincinnati is the town that I think ran what's his name, the publisher of Hustler out of town. So even years later, no, they were not going to put up with it either way.
Well, what's interesting is Hunter Hancock wouldn't play some of these records. Hunter Hancock sort of had a streak that,
puritanical streak. That's interesting.
Yeah. He wouldn't play them, but he'd talk about them, and that made them even more desirable. People, at that point, they couldn't hear it on the radio, but they knew something was going on. So guess what? They had to go out and buy it and find out for themselves. So that really jacked up sales. Hunter himself said, yeah, sure, that worked just fine. He wouldn't play some of these what he considered blue or smutty records.
Now, while he was saying no on KGFJ, and Hunter was like the guys on WLAC, a white guy playing black music, but while he was saying no, I assume there was no shortage of the Huggy Boys who were saying, oh, yeah, I'll play that.
Yeah, well, sure. And, of course, Huggy Boy and Dolphins of Hollywood were, in the early days, definitely linked together in more ways than one. And Huggy Boy sitting in the window of Dolphin store at Vernon and Central made a big impact on the L.A. music scene, although Dolphins didn't have that many hits himself on his own label. He helped propagate a whole lot of hits and made a whole lot of money. And when one act or another would come to town, like Fats Domino came to town, and there was a finite supply of Fats Domino records for sale. Well, Dolphin would make sure that more were pressed up, sort of like in his own factory with the Imperial label on it, and guess who was making the money?
Oh, absolutely. You say that so nicely, by the way. I love that. And, of course, sadly, John Dolphin came to an explosive end, to say the least, when Percy Ivy, we talked about him last time, I believe, just blew him away. But, of course, the funny thing about Dolphins of Hollywood is it wasn't in Hollywood, because as a black man, he couldn't have had a business in Hollywood. So
he said, if I can't go to Hollywood, Hollywood will come to me.
Yeah, and it did. It absolutely did. I mean, I thought those Huggy Boy shows, it made it all bigger than life. You wanted to get to Central Avenue. So it was just terrific.
Huggy was, we've mentioned Art LeBeau, Hunter Hancock, and Huggy Boy. I think we sort of covered the waterfront, but leaving out Johnny Otis is another influential.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. You can't say enough for Johnny Otis. But and I'm hogging you here, and I haven't yet even gotten to asking, because I will put you on the spot for your least favorite hits. But Steve in Riverside, New Jersey, has a question, and I think it's a question along the lines of something I've wondered about for forever. So, Steve in Riverside, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. Hello, Steve. Yeah, for years, we're always been trying to track down information about the Shamal label and the Vitunes. I was wondering whether you have any information.
Can you spell the label?
Oh, Chamal. It's Shamal number one. It's the only record they had, and the only the Vitones, their version of Blue Moon. One of my all-time favorite records. I've been looking for this forever. And recently, Steve, I don't know if I talked about it much on the air, but I think I've come to the conclusion that there was no, obviously there was no Shamal number two, but I don't think there was anybody named Shamal. I think it was a contraction. I think it was something that Bonnie Guitar in the Seattle area, who had other stuff that had contractions and stuff like that, was involved with. But my man, Steve, if you know anything about Shamal, you'd be saving the day.
No, I'm not going to save this day or even this week. No, this is a new one on me, and now I got to start looking for it, too.
Oh, man, well, you'll find it. I bet you will, but I have for years been looking for this because, every time I have to pay Sound Exchange money for what we stream, I grit my teeth because I'm saying, they're not going to find these artists. They're not going to find these labels. Yeah, find Shamal for me. So I've often wondered.
I'd like to, if Steve's still on the line, I'd like to know where he first heard it or heard about it and what he knows about it.
Probably from me. What is it, Steve?
I really don't know anything too much at all. I heard first on Raleigh's show. I know Val Shively bought the
record. Oh, you paid $1,000.
$1,000.
Yeah.
I've never heard the B-side of that record, My Blue Heaven. Would you happen to have that, Raleigh?
I don't have it on this computer, but I do have it, so I will play that for you. Not
okay,
tonight.
Sorry I let you down, but it's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last.
All right, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. So yes, he because I've talked about this a lot, Steve, and I'll play you the Shamal record, the Vitones, in a moment. But as I say, the only thing I can figure is that it's Seattle and it's a contraction, but I could be wrong. Meantime, Don in Beloit has a question. So, Don, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, how you doing, Raleigh? I had a question, I guess, for your guest there, but you know, looking at back history of rock and roll, right? That's what we've been talking about a little.
Okay.
Johnny Knight. Any thoughts, Johnny Knight, who rock and roll guitar, 1958 on Morocco, also called Johnny Mangialli. Johnny Knight sounds way better than that.
No, that's another one. I'm not doing that well right now.
Well, I have a feeling he's a white boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, no, both of us are out of luck for you on that. Yeah, Rock and Roll Guitar was the 45, and it's the only single, by the way, Steve, that, as far as I know, that this guy had. So, Rock and Roll Guitar, and so he actually, I think, did work with Johnny Otis for a while.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't doubt it. A lot of people did.
That's right. Half of a zip code. You betcha. All right, Don, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right, so... Yeah, I'm going to get back to you in moments because I want to know your list. I also want you to hear some of the Vitones, and we're talking to Steve Propes, and at the end of the hour, Steve is gone for the night. So if you got any questions, now is the moment. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's the Vitones, and that's Blue Moon, and that's on the Shamal label. And yeah, Steve Propes, if you can find out about that, you're my hero.
Wow. I'll tell you, I hear a definite East Coast sort of a New Jersey accent in the lead singer there.
See, I heard that too, and that had me on the trail to think there was a guy named Shamal, and I was doing that for years. and then it comes to find out, I forget why I had that connection, but the Bonnie Guitar deal, that there's something in Seattle involved in this mix.
There's a Bonnie Guitar connection.
Yes, on some level. And
that sort of puts it in the Dalton Dolphin.
Yes, yes,
the
right.
Dolphin Factory.
Right, right. Like maybe she's working for Bob Reisdorf or something.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a clue right there. Okay, thanks. So get my detective kit out and try to figure this one out. Now, I get a feeling you want to get to
yes,
the worst records of all time.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, One of the worst records is a performer from the 1950s who had a number one hit in the 1950s and is still with us and still touring, and that's Paul Anka. You're Having My Baby. What a wonderful way of saying that you love me or I love you.
Perfect.
Or something
like
that.
Right. With Odia Coates, that sounds like a dry cleaner. Yes, that almost always makes the list. Good. What else you got for me?
That's an automatic tune-out.
Yes.
How about another performer that had been around, should have known better, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. An automatic tune-out. Tony Orlando and Dawn. What was he thinking? Well, he was thinking he wanted to make some money. And he did.
But yeah, those the early 60s stuff on Epic, some great records, Bless You and all that stuff. And then he comes out with this. So yeah, I'm with you.
Halfway to Paradise was a great
record. It is.
But one of my favorite groups that I was following in the 1950s, all the way from their hits like Searching and Young Blood and Yakety Yak and Charlie Brown and even some of the Misses, and then they come up with Along Came Jones, which this to me is an automatic tune out. It just it broke It broke the string. That was obviously Lieber Stoller wanting to come up with a sort of a stage act that they could have the guys, emulate Western movie performers or something like that. But it was snuck in between Charlie Brown and Poison Ivy, but it should have been farmed out to a different. A different series altogether. It just sort of ruined their streak for me. Oh. So even though I loved the Coasters, I wasn't in love with Along Came Jones.
Oh, that's perfect.
My three.
That's perfect because that's fighting words. Now, as you were talking about that, I thought, well, maybe the Olympics could have handled Along Came Jones.
The Olympics did a much better job. You know, the Olympics, Walter Ward told me when Western movies came out, they had to they had a contest. Name all the Western that are in the lyrics and you win some a dishwasher or something. And the label actually had a contest, so people entered and tried to figure out all the various titles incorporated in Western movies.
Perfect. Well, you see, that's what next time we have to talk about Demon, the Highest and Phi. But the hour has gone by far, far too fast, and again the links are on Raleigh.net, and I hope you'll join me again.
Well, I plan to, so thanks for helping me out, get the word out, and I always enjoy chit-chatting with you.
All right, good deal. I'll let you know how the top 10 comes out on the World's Worst this year. Thanks.
Please do that. Okay, right. Good night.
So, Steve Probst, and we'll pick it up right there with your votes coming up next on WGN Radio.
Deep inside it makes me shake my feet. Them rock and roll guitars are really moving me. When I hear the twang ringing in my ear, I say, baby, let's rock and don't you have no fear. I go shaking all around, man, it's something to see. Them rock and roll guitars are really moving me. Rock and roll, makes me do the chicken, makes me do the stroll. Rock and roll.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the piece of tripe that Don from Joliet was referring to with good old Johnny Knight. All right, while it is a terrible record, everything about it is bad. And he wrote it, too, of course. I'm sure he was so proud. And it was not a hit. The guy actually was much better than that. He actually played with Johnny Otis for a while, and he could do a lot of R&B. Not in evidence on that. But as Don from Beloit was mentioning, he is his given name, which I think Don mangled, but John Mangiali. The second G is silent, Don. But anyway, that's the deal. And he was a musician by night, but he was a dental tech by day. And rock and roll guitar and Snake Shake, which was the flip side. were both on Morocco, which died as soon as it was born, a small label. Actually, the guy who founded it went on to found 4J, which was a nice R&B label, small too, in L.A. But nonetheless, it was interesting that that John, Johnny Knight, had almost a hit with that. But unfortunately, not only was the record company small, but it had virtually no distribution. That's always the deal. And in the middle of the record's run, if you will, it was played in New Orleans. I think that's about it. They went bankrupt. And he thinks, well, there goes my song. So he goes back to teeth cleaning. And that was the deal. It was obscure from 1958 on, and it was bootlegged. But then, I guess within the last 5 years, it was a German company that actually got the rights, from who I have no idea. And that was the idea for at least a limited pressing. But I think that after going back to work cleaning teeth and the like, he later went back into the studio and other aliases and stuff like that, but nothing hit. But anyway, that's the deal on Johnny Knight, and I'm not surprised that Steve Probst was not aware of him. It's to his credit, actually. But I bet you now that we've planted the Shema label in Steve's mind, next time he joins us, he will have something to say about that. Gosh knows I don't. But as I say, the current book's a lot of fun because in some ways it's a stream of consciousness book. Those old school records, 1,000 selected R&B, rock and roll, and soul 45 RPM singles. The nice thing about this is you can flip through it. It's a great coffee table or bathroom book, that kind of thing, because you don't have to read it cover to cover. Just open it any page. You'll read about a record that you know and probably find out something about it that you don't, which makes it a lot of fun. And of course, like I say, 45 RPM being my favorite, because it chronicles the history of the 45, which is a good one. And then the argument settler, of course, what was the first rock and roll record, and many from which to choose. As I say, there's an updated version now from 2022. I have the original in hand, and 1992. So yeah, 30 years later, they updated it. But 50 choices for what was the first, and arguments for every one of those, which is a lot of fun. So of course, you know, you'll get your 60 minute mans, but you'll get so much in that you'll have to make up your own mind about what might have been first. And like I say, he gives justification for the choices as well. Nice to see that there's even a Louis Jordan choice. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. I'm impressed with Steve outing himself that he doesn't like the Coasters. Alone Came Jones, a fine choice. But what is it that you hate? Debbie in Raleigh is joining us. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's up, Debbie?
A lot.
Yeah.
The song you played last hour
made
me think of another song that I cannot stand, and it's by Rod Stewart, Maggie May or Maggie.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It
absolutely. Rod Stewart, Maggie May. Okay.
I cannot stand this song.
Well, you're not alone. It usually gets a good amount of votes.
And the other one is Benny and the Jets.
Okay.
And The Christmas song that I cannot abide, well, there's two. One is All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Okay.
And, I just drew a blank. Well, you know.
Oh, no.
Well, you know how it goes.
Yes, I do.
When you want to think of it, you can't. And
right.
That's my problem. You know, I just, once in a while, they think it is something, and then the next second it's gone. So
yes, isn't that the truth? Yes, I like you. I cannot hold a thought captive.
I can't remember a phone number, but I remember a debit card number.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's just really weird how your brain works.
No, I know.
Anyway,
I remember my first American Express number from like 1960, 1959. So yeah, yeah.
Old phone number or whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
Well, anyway,
all right.
I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me, but
all right.
Anyway, those are
fine choices. Thank
anyway,
you. I appreciate it.
I just want to tell you are so great with your callers. I just love your diplomacy, your tact, and the funniest memory was when you had the toilet flush when the
Well, things happen. Yeah, right. No, well, I'm grateful to everyone who calls this show because, A, it makes it easier for me to do, and I'm inherently a lazy person. But, B, taking time out to taking time out to call is a compliment, so I'm not about to diss that. I'm grateful to every last one of you, and I hope more people will fall. You know, occasionally John will get calls from people who don't call the show, and they'll complain. They'll say, you talked to that person so long, or, you know, why were you having him on again? And John uses diplomacy and said, well, she's talking to him because you don't call.
That's the beauty of your show, though. Yeah, right. Because each person that calls always throws something interesting into the mix.
Even if they call
every night. And I mean, I'm not being, you know, whatever. Yeah. But they always add something when they call. So it isn't like they're just saying the same humdrum
repetitive jump. That's right.
Right. Okay, well, look at you. Take care, and I really enjoy listening to your program.
Thanks, I sure appreciate it, Debbie.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. So good choices. Now, 888-876-5593. And as I was saying, the only rules, well, there's a couple rules, actually, so I shouldn't say only. One rule, of course, is you can vote as often as you like, but you can't vote for the same song twice. So if you nominated it, don't call later to vote on it. Or if you see something that's not moving up quick enough, don't call again and again. You get one vote per song, but as many songs as you want. So that's our voting decorum, if you will. Now, as far as what you can nominate, well, our requirement is they be hits. That's right. It can be any decade, and it can be any genre. I don't care if it's country or pop or R&B or pop standards. As long as it was a hit, it qualifies. So it can't be something from a musical that wasn't a hit, you know, things like that. But as long as it was a hit single on some chart, then that's all we need. And I prefer they be above number 60, but, you know, so that they're really quasi-hits. But on the other hand, there's some that did not chart that high, but still, we would all agree, oh yeah, that qualifies. So, and Christmas in particular. So I don't know if Gayla Peavy ever charted. And, you know, for years I didn't mind that record. I had the 45. It was, you know, nobody else knew that record. Then it came out on a Christmas CD about 20, 30 years ago. And damn if it isn't played all the time. And at this point, I do not want a hippopotamus for Christmas. All right, so Ruth in Gurnee is going to vote for us. So, all right, Ruth, what you got?
Hi, this is James. I waited several days for all the other persons with their nominations, you know, for the songs. So I actually, though, before my nomination for a song, have a request because the feast day for the martyred saint, Saint Cecilia, is November 22nd.
Don't make me play the Shrine of Saint Cecilia. Please don't make me play that.
The Shrine
of Saint
Cecilia? You don't like it? I thought you liked it.
No, I do not like the Shrine of Saint Cecilia. But I'll try.
I had no idea.
Oh, I hate it. But I'll try to find a version of it I can tolerate.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing is that I think that there were so many blessings that went to artists, especially for soulmate songs, so many incredible ones that was divine intervention. And why you might not like that particular version of that song, you have to at least give credit where credit is due with the attitude of gratitude for the incredible music, not only that you play soulmate music, but even other soulmate songs which you don't play. Now, I'm wondering, do you have a doo-wop version of Thanks for the Memories?
I don't know. By the way, on Shrine of Saint Cecilia, even though I do not like the song, I love the harp tone, so I'll play their version of it for you.
Okay. Well, good. Whatever you want. I think that the attitude of gratitude that you have is an incredible blessing for all of us. Now, the next thing would be, I did get into a turkey trot just about 4 years ago with my walker, and, of course, everybody was ahead of me. But I did get that turkey, and I think last year and the year before, I stuffed a ceramic turkey with mistletoe potpourri, And this year I'm stuffing the ceramic turkey with fortune cookies, but the turkeys were left in someone's refrigerator, and when they opened up the door, they had the biggest laugh over they didn't like turkey, and they had a ceramic turkey that fit the occasion with mistletoe pop pourri.
Uh-huh.
Fortune cookie stuffing is going to be even better. Now, I want to mention that a caller named Judy from Grays Lake, I've been trying to get tickets for St. Gilbert's raffle, and I need someone to pick them up for me, raffle tickets, and do the $100 worth of raffle tickets over there. I'm still trying to get in contact with Gurney's Barbara McDermott, Jenny McDermott's mom from Pleasant Prairie. And also Pleasant Prairie is having, and St. Raphael Archangel, Cookie Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it last year by a day after hearing it on WLIP Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, next year I'm going to donate to their, the ladies is a ladies' organization, and they do all kinds of wonderful things for their area. So she said, well, you can't do a cake. And I go, okay, I got an avenue of approach and a solution. I will get a giant cookie with a Yule log on it, and it will be the same effect, only its bottom part will be a cookie. And I'll do the same thing for St. Raphael, the Archangel Cookie Walk. So not to my, the lady said she loves the callers and all the interesting things that they say, and I agree. It puts you in the top category for not being the worst radio program.
That's great, that's great.
You're at the head of the line.
Not the worst.
Okay.
All right, I love that.
All right.
I'll play Turkey Trot for you.
A nominated song would be, it's not that I ever really distinctly dislike some of these songs that are just off the wall, but this one is Standing on the Corner Watching All the Girls Go By.
Oh, my God. All right, well, that counts. That's a good nomination.
Okay.
And since you mentioned Turkey Trot,
hey,
we'll play Let's Turkey Trot for
you.
All right, thanks, Ruth. Appreciate it. All right, so it's not the worst. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Shambles, all I treasured is gone. The town seemed deserted, everyone so forlorn. A smile came from up above, but somehow it missed the shrine of Saint Cecilia. The bell in the chapel ring anymore. The clock in the steeple don't tell time as before. But up on the hillside there's a place heaven blessed, the shrine of Saint Cecilia.
James, I like the harp tone so much that that makes that tolerable. It really does. So the Shrine of St. Cecilia, that's Ruth's request, and I don't know where I am. On WGN Radio, that's where I am. And we'll continue to get your votes. John just threw a few in. I said, I don't know if they're hits. Well, I looked them up. Oh, both of them did chart. Both same record, two different artists. So Smarmy is all hell. So I'll give you that. So maybe you'll want to second them or not. But certainly we'll take your votes because it is a cumulative total. So whatever makes you cringe. You know, I mentioned Angel Baby that I don't like it. But the truth is that if I were going to vote, and I don't include anything, I think, but it would be in the anything by, which is a category we don't allow, but if we did, it would be things like anything by Celine Dion or, you know, Whitney Houston. And not that they couldn't sing, they could, but just their choice of music was just, man, nails on a chalkboard to me. So 888-876-5593. We can talk about that, or I've got something sobering to discuss coming up too on WGN Radio.
Come on, let's turkey trot. Let's get it while it's hot. Let's dance in Philly time. It's sugar test the time. My grandmother taught this dance to me. She did it at the turn of the century. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, let's turkey trot. People may say you're some kind of a nut when you're stiffing your knees and you start to strut. But if you really want to get out of the rut, do some turkey trotting and
all your cares will be forgotten. Yeah.
Come on, let's turkey trot.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, I think it's probably as close to a Thanksgiving song we have, the Turkey Trot. Let's Turkey Trot. Carole King and Jerry Goffin wrote it, and Little Eva sang it. So that's the deal. And Ruth had brought up the turkey trot, so yeah, had to play that. But each year we grouse about the fact that there is a dearth, okay, an absolute lack of Thanksgiving songs. So the closest thing we got is Let's Turkey Trot, and there you have it. Now, as far as your hits, world's worst hits, like I say, if I was doing the list, it would be all of that adult contemporary mulch, the kind of stuff Delilah plays. But I don't count anything on my votes, and I usually can't give you titles anyway of that stuff, fortunately. But that said, John said, well, how about that song from Cats? I said, beats me to have no idea. No, it was called Memory. It's from Cats. It's just horrible. I said, well, that's Andrew Lloyd Webber. Probably a dozen people recorded it. I don't know if any had a hit with it. Well, none of them had a hit in the real sense, but if my yardstick is it has to be above number 60, we have two qualifiers for that. That's Barbara Streisand, who came in, I don't know, in like number 53 or something, and Barry Manilow in a year later in 83, who did a little better than that, but not much. So with that in mind, usually I don't play things that I've never heard before in life, but this was John's vote. I like I say, I don't know if he cottons to Barbara Streisand or Barry Manilow as being his choice of the worst, but I'll give you a taste of it since it does count.
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory?
I have heard it. John's absolutely right. It pond water. It sucks pond water. That would be the technical term for it. The I'm sure that the Barry Manilow version isn't any better. So too bad the pavement wasn't drowning him out, but I guess it didn't. So there you have it. They count. I'm listening to that. Just the opening, I'm thinking, this is why I don't like musicals. Right? Particularly in the Broadway play definition of same. All right. So I'll let John's vote count. Why not? I will not let my own count. But like I say, it would probably be anything by, and we don't take that as a category. So we've got Johnny D in Ohio with some votes. All right, Johnny, what do you hate?
Hello, Raleigh. I learned some new things tonight. Let's see. There's Sucks Pond Water.
Yeah, that's second. Yeah, Sucks Pond Water.
And Chalks on a Nail Board.
Yeah.
That's like you say.
Yeah, nails on a chalkboard, but good enough. All right.
Yeah, but you said chalks on a nail board
exactly.
And Sucks Pond
Water. All right, so what else? What you got for me?
Wait a minute. You're confusing me.
Good.
Wait a minute. let's see here. I wanted to nominate a couple of songs, but from last night I was listening. Now, I want to get this right in my mind. When you were talking to Johnny G there, and he said he nominated a song, but I'm thinking, and like you say, people used to like these songs or they wouldn't have sold a lot of songs.
Correct.
Record, you know.
Correct.
Now, was he talking about, hey, girl, I bet you there's someone out to get you?
I don't know.
The rapper.
Yeah. Yes, the rapper, the Jaggers, yes. I wouldn't have known it from your rendition, but then again, I don't listen to it often. But yes, the Jaggers has been nominated, rapper. Rap. They call him the rapper. Yeah.
Rapper. Yeah. They call. Yeah. I used to do that song.
Well,
I
and you're willing to publicly admit it. Well, all right. Yes, this was how it sounded, and this was the vote getter.
Hey, girl, I bet you there's someone out to get.
Find him in too many places. That's the problem. Yes, that's been a vote. The rapper.
That's I used to do that song. I like that song.
All right. Well, then you don't
and
vote.
Another
for
song.
Yes.
That I used to do that I really didn't like, and you said they could be. See, now that song is kind of like from my generation.
That's fine.
Song,
they, any decade, any genre.
Well, that song there was made in the what? The late 70s.
About 1970.
The late 60s.
Yeah, about 1970.
Okay, and now this song that I want to nominate is, and there were some other folks that did some Three Dog Night songs, and here's a song I used to do that I really didn't like to do, but we did it. It was called, Want Some Whiskey in Your Water, Sugar in Your Tea? What's all these crazy questions you're asking me?
Yeah.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't know what it is, but I don't want to see. Mama told me not to come.
Yes, are you voting for that?
I'm voting for Mama told me not to come.
Consider it on the list.
All right, and what else do I have here? Oh, she came in through the bathroom window.
Would that be the lovely Joe Cocker?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Now, like I say, those songs are from my generation. I mean, I don't go way, way back, you know, like a lot of your callers. I go back.
Yeah.
But not way back.
That's fine.
So, yeah, that's all. I wanted to nominate those songs. And one other thing I want to say, Raleigh, I was listening to the replay of last Monday night show.
You were. So
and,
you're
and
the
I
one.
I made an error.
Oh.
You said that had I ever gone to a, or no. You said, have I ever gone to a chiropractor? And I said, no, which I never have gone to one.
All right.
But anyhow, I said that, what I meant to say, you said an orthopedic surgeon, and I thought it was that, but what I meant to say, an osteopath.
Oh, okay.
An osteopath.
Okay.
See, because this guy, I went to this osteopathic doctor,
okay.
You know,
well,
about my back once, a long time ago, and he was cracking me. He was cracking my back. And everything.
Well, osteopaths are somewhat of a blend between chiropractic and allopathic. They do learn manipulation. So, yeah, I understand that. Not as many practice that today. There are a number of DOs who are pretty much interchangeable with MDs. But traditionally, osteopaths absolutely spent time on spinal manipulation.
Yeah, like I said, he was a real big guy, and he was crying.
Well, it might have helped.
He was leaning on me, like I was on the table, he was like laying on me, you know, cracking my, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're still here to talk about it, so it worked out okay.
By the way, my back kind of eased up from the other night.
Oh, good. That's excellent.
I'm going to go see a chiropractor. I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
I think I got, you know, that is also a, I was thinking about it, that is also one of the negative things of becoming bipedal. Okay?
Yeah, standing on 2 feet, I agree.
Right, because as we evolved, mm-hmm. you know, our spines had to adjust to the pelvis and everything, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, and sometimes okay. it just doesn't work out well. All right, I appreciate the call.
Well, 3 million years later, and this is what we got.
Exactly. All right.
Okay.
Good to talk
Bye-bye.
To you. So, yeah, exactly. And especially since neck position is so important to the whole equation. All right, well, enough of that. So, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we're going to take some votes from Valerie and from Chuck in Madison. All right, so we'll get the Alabama contingency in here as well. And, yeah, keep them coming right here on WGN Radio.
Oklahoma is on the line. Is this Hiroshima 79805? I've a person-to-person for me, Suleen Fu. This is Tulsa, Oklahoma, ma'am, is that you? I have your party waiting, sir, the operator said. Tokyo's on the line in Tulsa, go ahead. I started to smile when she said to me, this is Suleen Fu, who is calling, please? This is Toxon Ichiban, Suleen Fu. Your number one cowboy's missing you. Tokyo, Oklahoma is lonely tonight. Pretty geisha girl, you are on my mind. Clouds hanging over Tulsa sky. Tokyo, Oklahoma is lonely tonight. Oh, well, we talked and we talked on into the night. I was on the early morning western red-eye flight. Due to turbulent weather, we were way over time. When we taxied into Tokyo's Terminal D9, I stepped off of Pan Am's Flight 22. I kept a-looking, but I couldn't find Suleen Fu.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. John Anderson, Tokyo, Oklahoma, 1985 on Warner Brothers. I thought that was a great record. And why am I playing it? I really did. It's almost like country's answer to Nadine. But nonetheless, and by the way, Jim Ed Norman and Lou Bradley produced it. How do you not like it? Well, Sharon and Racine voted for it by email. So John Anderson hits the list with Tokyo, Oklahoma. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. I thought it was a swell song. Oh, well, Chuck is in Madison, Alabama. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, thanks, Raleigh. You made me feel so comfortable a couple weeks ago that I appreciate you letting me call in.
Absolutely.
Hey, that thing that you just played, it is very, very catchy. I've never heard that. That's not my genre. But
anyway,
one thing I wanted to mention is after you hung up on me, not meaning that in the bad way, but after you hung up on me last couple weeks ago, you had mentioned that there was a computer store that you really enjoyed in the Huntsville area.
Yes.
Was it Gigaparts?
No, I don't think so. Now,
my son, he deals with all that. I asked him about it, and he said, well, that's one of them I would think maybe that you went to. But anyway, Gigaparts, that's what I thought. But I wanted to mention, too, that last time we talked, I told you that I, as a teenager, was in Okinawa with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And KSBK, back in the day, Art Bell was a young DJ.
Yes.
On the English station in Okinawa.
Yes.
I didn't know
you
knew that. And actually, I think he set a record, a Guinness Book of World Records, for 115 hours of continuous talk.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes, yes. And that's something that a lot of jocks have done over the years to break the records. He did. And I thought Art was just great for what he did, no doubt about it.
Right. Well, I hope you're doing well. But here's my three nominations for tonight. This vote is from my late wife, she hated this song with a passion. It's "You're Having My Baby."
Oh, I don't blame her. I don't blame her.
So
yeah.
She hated that song with a passion.
Yeah.
The other one is that they played over and over, "Honey."
Oh, yes, yes. We always do the do the tour of the honey house, see the tree, how big it's grown. Yes, absolutely.
And then the other one is yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got love in my tummy.
Yeah, and what the heck were the Ohio Express thinking? And they followed it up with Chewy Chewy.
Yeah, I remember that. In fact, that was about the time I was in Okinawa, and they were playing that kind of stuff in the late 60s. Anyway, I do appreciate you so much, Raleigh, and I hope you're feeling well and doing well.
Well, thank you so much. And now I'm going to have to think about this computer store. It was used, for sure. I'd get old.
So it was used.
It
was
absolutely used.
I'll mention to my son.
Yeah, and I usually would go and buy, like, Mac Pros and things like that. And you could get them for...
Buy what?
All the Apple products, Mac Pros, things like that.
Oh, it was Apple products.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Okay. It was Apple products. And, yeah, I'd drive there from Chattanooga, and it was worth the drive every time.
Well, one of the things, since you mentioned Chattanooga, I lived in Chattanooga as well. Did you ever live in Fairbanks, Alaska?
No, I've certainly spent a lot of time in Fairbanks, and it's funny you mention it, because when I took John and I drove there several years ago, and we were driving up, I said, because John has obviously spent time in a lot of places, including the New Jersey Shore, and I said, this is going to be the strangest thing, but we're going to go to Fairbanks, Alaska, and when we get downtown, you are going to see two-story houses that look like they were built at the Jersey Shore, these apartment buildings, and to this day, I don't know why they're there. They have outside hallways and all that. They look like they came, right out of Long Beach or Asbury Park or wherever. And I have no idea. It must have been like right after World War II. Someone built all these New Jersey apartment building looking things. So have you spent time in Fairbanks?
Well, no. I follow something on YouTube, a family that they post every so often from Fairbanks. But I've been to Alaska about two or three times, and I just think it's a wonderful place in the summertime. Now, I don't know about wintertime or not, but summertime, we really did enjoy it. Did you have a broadcast there?
No, years ago when I first started to drive, my hobby was driving the interstate system.
I remember that.
Well, I expanded it. I decided to drive up the Alaska Highway, and literally, I didn't realize at that time it still wasn't paved. I figured it was just road construction. Yeah, that lasted 2,000 miles.
So then I
think it's Computer World.
I don't think it is Computer World. John said he thought it was Computer World. No, it's not. I'll get with my son
and we'll try to figure that out for you.
If nothing else, I'll have to look through old bills and files to find out, because it'll drive me crazy. But I'm so glad you called, and I hope you're going to do it again.
I will, and I hope I didn't drive you too crazy.
Oh, no, it's great. Great to hear from you. Thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right. So, yeah, it had a simple name. Like, I when I looked online, I saw Daytac, and it's like, no, but that's closer than Computer World. It had a different name. Well, it's gone now. Wouldn't that be the case? All right, well, I'll keep looking. Now it's going to drive me crazy, too. We got another hour of this, hopefully with you, coming up right here on WGN Radio.
There's someone out to get you. You'll find him anywhere, on a bus, in a bar, in a grocery store. He'll say, excuse me, haven't I seen you somewhere before? Rap, they call him the rapper. Something will happen. He'll say he needs you, a companion, a girl he can talk to. He's made up his mind. He needs someone to suck it to. Rap, 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 rap. They call him the rap.
WG. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so Johnny Goin in Austin hates it, and Johnny D in Youngstown loves it, and that's the Jaggers, and that's what's great about the World's Worst Hit Records. You might hate them, you might love them, and we're looking for the world's worst according to you. You can't do anything by, even though I'd really love to, but can't do that. It's got to be an actual song and a hit. And if you've heard someone else nominate it and you hate it too, by all means vote, because it is a cumulative total. The Jaggers were from Pittsburgh, by the way. And it's interesting. It was Joe Rock who managed them. And Joe Rock, of course, if the name sounds familiar, managed the Skyliners. In fact, when they broke up, because the Jaggers were not around for all that long, one of them actually went to the Skyliners. And, of course, they weren't having hits anymore, but they were certainly appearing in a lot of places. But before they were on Kama Sutra, which the which was their hit, you know, the rapper, they were on Gamble. And Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff produced their debut album, recorded it right in Philadelphia. And they originally were going to be the Jaggers, as you would normally spell it with an S. But apparently there was a magazine advertisement for another band called the Jaggers. And we got to do something. So Joe Rock said, just change it to an S. And that was the deal. And it's an interesting kind of blue-eyed soul album, the debut one. And then Kama Sutra reactivated, and the Jaggers were signed. And so that was kind of a medley of their hit, as far as that goes. They were there for about 3 years, and then they moved to an RCA subsidiary, and then, of course, later they broke up. And it was interesting because, as I say, one of them goes and becomes part of the Skyliners, and another one joined Wild Cherry, and of course they had recently risen to prominence with Play That Funky Music, White Boy, which he wasn't on, but he was on, you know, my favorite 1-2-3 Kind of Love. And of course they broke up in 1979, and so it was interesting as far as that goes. And then from what I understand, they got together for a little while in the resurgence of oldies bands and did that kind of stuff. All right, so now you know, and it's fine if you hate them. So 888-876-5593, and that is going to take us. Oh, by the way, I'm still during the news. I was going crazy trying to find this this computer store in Huntsville that we loved. Yeah, we'd buy these old Mac computers, and I remember one time we got one of we'd buy them usually in lots, you know, half a dozen or whatever, and got one of them home, and the first thing that happened was it exploded. Well, of course, the power supply blew up, but I said to John, well, we have a little fire here, and so back to Huntsville we went, and they were very gracious and gave us another one. But the place that John had mentioned, Computer World, that wasn't it, but the address sounds eerily familiar because it's a Memorial Drive, and I think the place I'm talking about was on Memorial Drive. But yeah, that'll keep me up at night, but better than other things that could when you get right down to it. So 888-876-5593. We have Valerie in Warrenville. All right, Valerie.
Hey, morning, Raleigh.
Yeah, so what do you hate?
Oh, I got a little bit of a list going on right here, my dear.
Very good.
Okay, we start off with Seconding John's songs.
Oh, yeah, weren't they terrible? I agree with him wholeheartedly. They were just truly awful.
There was one version that was earlier.
I don't care.
That was tolerable.
No, nothing could make that tolerable. I beg to differ. But anyway, yeah.
I was also in a very good mood that year. So
it must have been either that or Better Living Through Chemistry.
No.
All right. You know, because that can certainly make a lot of intolerable things suddenly very tolerable for about a minute. So what else you got?
Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie.
By who?
Fergie.
I only know it by the Four Seasons. Huh.
Yeah.
This was Fergie remade it. Oh, that's a horrifying thought, isn't it?
Yes, it was a horrifying Fergie.
Oh. Same song?
Yes.
All right, see, because sometimes it can just be the same title. But Fergie absolutely decided to treat us to her version of Big Girls Don't Cry.
And it was bad.
Well, yeah. You're voting for it. Must have been. All right, so what else we got?
Achy Breaky Heart.
Ah, okay. Yes, Achy Breaky. All right.
Union of the Snake by Duran Duran.
Oh, all right.
I like it better. I like other ones on that album.
Well, no, I'm glad you're doing this, because one of the things about this list is a lot of them are old fossils like me. So I was really excited the first day we opened the polls, because the first vote we got was for a fairly current, comparatively, well, this century sort of, okay, maybe Imagine Dragons, Radioactive. And I thought, oh, good, maybe we're going to get a younger list. So you're helping it.
That was me.
Oh, it was. Oh,
yes,
well, all right. See, well, then you're the only one giving us a break in this, and that's great.
Well, I'm also doing a little bit of research for my memory.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm going, I know from that year, that month, it was what? Now, where the hell was that list? Yeah. Islands in the Stream.
Oh, God. Yes. All right. All right.
Dolly. They really, oh, good Lord.
If I had to vote, if I got to vote, which I don't, that might be on my list.
Okay, and somebody said, yummy, yummy, my tummy.
Yes, you want to second that?
Yes.
All right, let me find it. Here we go. Good deal.
Okay, Let's Hear It for the Boy by Denise Williams.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And then Ice Baby.
What?
Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Oh, yes, them. Him. Ice Baby, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did we already do Macarena?
Well, I don't know if you nominated it. Now, that's a problem. It is on the list, but did it come from you?
I don't remember.
Well, so you can't vote on it again if it did, but we'll...
Okay. Little Nas X, That's What I Want on the list?
No.
Okay, then this is what I was going to be doing.
Okay. What else?
Save Your Tears by The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
And Grande.
And what?
The two artists, there was a duet by a guy called The Weeknd and then Ariana Grande.
Oh, her. All right, yeah. Oh, that's Grande? Okay, good to know. I see her name in the tabloids all the time. I just figured it was Grand. All right, all right, so Ariana Grande, learn something new every day.
Yeah, and supposedly Maroon 5 did a version of Memories.
You mean Memory, the cat song? Or Memories from the Way We Were?
I think it was the latter one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I'm seconding Peggy Sue and Yellow Polka Dot.
Oh, Peggy Sue. You're actually our first vote this time for Peggy Sue. It has been on the top five in the past, but let's see. And Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny, yes, Brian Hyland, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's this. I'm going to mispronounce. There's a song called You Write by Doja Cat and The Weeknd.
Mm. Okay.
And this is Macarena. Yeah. Was there a Chupacabra song?
I don't know.
It was when you were on Art Bell, and I was listening to Art Bell, and he was talking about Chupacabra, and I was listening, and he said something about a song.
Well, there could have been, but I don't think it was a hit.
Okay, we'll ignore that, and I'll do some research. All right.
But I did find the Fergie song, and I will delight in playing it in moments.
Oi!
Yeah, I know you're saying, and I had to nominate it. Well, yeah, you did, actually. Good.
So.
All right.
Don't do that to yourself.
No, no. Well, I've never heard it before, and I don't have to hear much of it. That's the good news.
Don't even do two bars worth of it. Maybe two notes.
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else? I have been absolutely having a blast listening to you over the last couple of months. I have been awake most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
I just been kind of doing my own thing and every once in a while falling asleep in the middle of it.
Excellent.
Just because I'm tired, not because you're...
Well, no, it's fine with me. Sleep is sacred. If I'm putting you to sleep, then my job is well done.
No.
Yeah, really.
If you relax me enough for me to go to sleep, yes.
All right.
But the talk is always so interesting, I didn't want to fall asleep.
Oh, dear. Well, late at night, that might not be your best option. But if you're willing to stay awake, that's good, too. And I'll look forward to your next group of suggestions.
All right,
thanks.
Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. I was doing very poorly today, and at some point it was just like, I better not try to stand up. And so John had gone out, but he came home, he said, all the lights were on, looked like you were doing something, and you were just dead asleep, which I was, but I remembered I had turned on one of those YouTube things, you know, always looking for my nuts, I don't know if this guy had, you know, died and was on the other side, or maybe he was talking to aliens, but whatever it was, I mean, I got it three sentences into it, and I was out like a light. So I think that some of these YouTube videos really, really give great competition to soporifics. I mean, there's really no reason to take sleeping pills when you can just turn on a video or two and you're out. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will get back to it. We have Steve in Riverside and Bob in Virginia. All right, Bob and Gary in Austin as we continue. Because, you know, a week from tonight, the polls close. Because a week from tomorrow is turkey time, Thanksgiving. You'll be eating it, I'll be playing it. The world's worst hit records here on WGN Radio.
Da, 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 da. The smell of your skin lingers on me now. You're probably on your flight back to your down. I need some shelter of my own protection, baby. Be with myself in center, clarity, peace, serenity.
No, that don't tell me that. That is not a remake of this.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls. They don't cry.
Big girls don't cry.
Who said?
I just had to clean my palate, so to speak. Yeah, after Fergie, I don't care if somewhere in the middle of that she has the lyrics, Big Girl Don't Cry, that is not a remake of this. Just don't even start. All right, but I have a feeling that Fergie's record probably was a hit, which is frightening. So yes, as far as the Four Seasons, that was 1962 on VJ, the follow-up, of course, to Sherry, and it was on the Sherry album as well. And Bob Gaudio and Bob Crewe wrote it, and a fine work it was, not to be desecrated by Fergie, even if the words are somewhere in there. And you know, I'm never going to know, because I'm not going to get that far in the song. So, with that in mind, what a horrible experience it was. Let's check out Steve in Riverside again. All right, Steve.
Hello, Roy. I didn't call on months, and I called twice in the same night.
Yes.
Yeah. What I was wondering about, late-night radio, there's always these PSAs, and there's a... commercials for fundraiser for charities,
mm-hmm.
and very often at the end, it's this was brought to you by so and so and the Ad Council.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering who is the Ad Council and what do they do?
The Advertising Council, you can just go to adcouncil.org and read all about it. It's a nonprofit that distributes PSAs on behalf of various sponsors. The reason you hear so much of this is most stations cluster commercials, and most of them are automated, and most of them have a set minutes allowed for the commercial load. Now, if there are no commercials that are paid at the time, they either have to do bonuses or things like that nature, or maybe they do per PIs or something, but ultimately they just shove a PSA or two in there. And so, yes, the Ad Council produces a ton of them.
Oh, it's the same ones over and over again.
Well, it depends. You know, they do have a ton of them that come out. It depends if the station wants to go ahead and you know, continually download the stuff. But whether they're, you know, enlisting volunteers or raising funds or recruiting blood donors, you know, it's all there. They've been doing it since 1945. I don't run them. And the reason I don't run them is, first, on the stations that we own, I don't cluster commercials. Everything's a standalone element. And I do a ton of PSAs, but every one of them is in-house. I don't pre-record anything like that. So, you know, I certainly hear from them every other day, but I always tell them, hey, if you got scripts, send them. If you think I'm going to run a pre-record, find another station. But that's why. Mm-hmm. Because they have the minutes to fill in a spot cluster, and if they haven't sold the time, they'll shove in a PSA unless they have a PI.
Okay. And I have a list of votes to...
All right.
For the World's
what
Worst.
You got for me? What you got for me?
Okay, I want to second a lot of them, or a few of them anyhow. Once You Understand, I Think.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That's, I don't think it's ever made the top 10.
It might this year.
Let's push it over the top. It deserves it, you know?
All right.
And also, Teach Me Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
That's one I nominated that a few years ago. You featured it on the Thanksgiving show, and I was sending you a vote for it. But that, you know, a lot of times during the year, I'll hear a song that is terrible, and I'll sort of make a note of it for this time of year for you.
Okay.
And that was one of them. Is That All There Is by Peggy Lee.
Okay.
That has to be the most depressing record ever.
Yeah, it's a tomb. It's a tone for suicide, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even Gilbert O'Sullivan sounded happy about jumping off the
Alone
tower.
Alone Again, naturally, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I have a different Paul Anka song.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the One Tin Soldier by... Coven. With the original cast.
Oh, okay. I think the hit was Coven, but I'll look it up. Whoever was the hit is who you're voting for, because they have to be hits.
I think they both probably charted.
I'll look.
In Philadelphia, we had a original cast.
Yeah, I'll look.
Okay. DOA, I haven't heard that nominated on there. I don't know if you have the emails on that.
Yes, no, but people have actually called on it this year. Blood Rock, okay. What else you got?
The song I heard this year, which is the one I saved, is the Banana Boat song.
Oh, Deo. Now, okay.
Now, we didn't get it in Philadelphia by Harry Belafonte. We got the Terriers.
Oh, God.
But the one I heard was worse. The Fontaine Sisters.
Oh, yes, I do know that. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We got to find out what's going on in the world at large, and we'll be right back after the news right here on WGN Radio.
The girl I love, she's going away. The girl I love, she's going to stay. I'll dream of her.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, let's have a moment for a really decent song. Nobody would vote for that. But Jimmy P chose it last night as one of his faves, and more to the point, one of Scotty's faves. So yeah, The Girl I Love, the fabulous Cadillacs. 888-876-5593. So I rudely interrupted Steve in Riverside. Apologies, Steve. Carry on. Oh, by the way, before you do, I checked on One Tin Soldier, and you're right, original cast did chart. Now, nowhere near, like, unfortunately, The Coven, which charted on three different occasions, God help us, but original cast did a chart somewhere in the 30s, so that counts. Consider it on the list.
Very good. Yeah, that's my favorite song by the Cadillacs.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah. I like My Girlfriend, too.
Yeah, I saw Earl Carroll one time performing with the Coasters.
Yes, he did, for years.
Dick Lee's over in Gloucester City, I believe it was. And any song he did of his own was Speedo.
Well, of course, because that's Mr. Earl. He had to.
Sure. Yeah, so yeah, getting back to my list, Banana Boat song by the Fontaine Sisters, the reason I picked that is like just the image of the Fontaine Sisters stacking bananas all night long.
Yeah. Could be a John Waters movie if you think hard enough. Okay.
Yeah. So to speak. And I'll give you one more.
Yes.
I never heard this one on the Dawn of Correction by the Spokesman.
Oh yes, absolutely. Answer to Eve of Destruction, of course.
Yeah, Johnny Madera and David White.
Yes,
and
yes.
Ray Gilmore, DJ at WIBG. At
yes,
the time.
Yes. This is all true.
Yep. So, and that's it. Then I have a. Oh, Johnny Madera would be a good interview sometime if you.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would enjoy that.
Philly Cush could probably hook you up with him because they're friends.
Okay.
Okay. I had a couple requests.
Okay.
The one was Now and Then There's a Fool Such as I by Tommy Edwards.
Ah.
And the other one is sort of out of the box. But back when you had your syndicated show, you used to have a filler, a montage of little clips that lasted a minute.
Yeah.
So certain stations could
play another commercial,
so could all merge at the right time. If you still have that, could you play that sometime? I'd love to hear that. I haven't heard that in decades.
Oh, there are dozens of them. I'd have to find them, but I will. As I move from one location to another, they're going to surface, and I promise when they do, I'll put them on a computer.
Great, very good.
All right, thanks for calling.
Let you go. Get your other cars. Thank you.
Good deal. Appreciate it. Yeah, right. they're still on carts, believe it or not. So, and some are on reel to reels. And I just moved another reel to reel, another Atari 5050 today. And yes, I seem to have a collection of them. And John was saying, how many do you need? Well, you never know, parts or something. There could be something. Yeah, everybody needs six. All right. Anyway, 888-876-5593. Bob is in Virginia. Hello, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Very good. I just have one song, can't stand it. The original was actually not bad, B.J. Thomas. It was a hit, but the cover later was even a bigger hit, that stupid one with the Ooga Chugga's in it.
Hooked oh, Blue Sweet, Ooga Chugga, Ooga Chugga.
Yeah.
I often wondered exactly what were they imbibing to come up with Ooga Chugga, and then I also wondered, all right, it's bad enough that they're coming up with that song, but what songs did they reject that didn't think went with Ooga Chugga, Ooga Chugga? You know, I mean, there's probably a story here, and I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, it got much bigger than the original song.
Well, yes, because it's almost a novelty record, really. You know, so
it is.
But no, I don't like it either. And each time it comes on the radio, John lunges and changes the station immediately. So you're not alone.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling. Do it again.
You will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So fine. Well, yeah, Blue Sweet does pretty well. But I can only imagine, because, you know, you think about it. Did they really come up with Hooked on a Feeling as their first choice? Or somehow did Hooked on a Feeling inspire Ooga Chugga, Ooga Chugga? I don't know. But I think there were other candidates there. Yeah, it might have improved having my baby. It's hard to say. All right. So we have Marshall in New Orleans. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, how are you today?
All right, you did not send me an email.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I was thinking, how come Raleigh didn't write me back?
Because I didn't know you sent it. Now, of course, this is one of the problems. I get so many. So when I'm not going to ask you now, but I'm going to put you on hold afterwards, and you're going to have to tell John what your email address is, so I'll search it.
Okay, no problem. And because I remember I said, this is for Carolyn, and it's not my wife who's trying to track me down, saying, hey, I've heard that man. I know who he is.
Right. Yeah, I'll definitely put you on hold, and John can figure it out, because I've been looking. But, you know, it's horrible, because if I get like 4,000 or 5,000 in a day, sometimes I just hit delete.
Yeah, I can understand. I know. Well, this song that I have that I want to nominate for one of the worst songs, I don't know if it was a hit, but I think it was recorded down here. The movie was recorded here by Elvis, and it's called King Creole, movie, and Crawfish by Elvis.
Oh, man. Well, that King Creole album by Elvis was huge, but as far as songs from it that charted, I'm not sure. But if it did, consider it on the list.
Thank you. And I wanted to let you know that tonight I pulled the trigger and I ordered your book, What Am I Doing Here? When I
Wait a minute. You didn't really. Hopefully you didn't pay much money for this.
You know what? You must be rich, because it is $49.
No, don't do this. Get your money back. That's crazy. You see, there are people selling it on the second market. I've seen ridiculous prices. Don't do it. In fact, if you can, not only that, I mean, I saw one where somebody was trying to sell it for $200. No, when I sold it myself, it was $23.94, and that included postage. But I've never reprinted it, but I've been talking to a friend. I'm planning to just put the whole thing online for free.
Oh, wow.
So I don't want anybody to pay those prices. And I've talked to other people who say, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay $100. No, you're not. I'll give it away first. So that's what I'm going to do, because I don't want to do another run on it. I really don't want to sell it that way. But I've got a good friend, David Gleason, who has this wonderful site, World Radio History. And if he wants it, we'll have him put it up there for free.
Oh, that sounds excellent. That
yeah.
is so nice.
So get your money back quickly.
Well, speaking of Elvis in Tennessee, I didn't know that you lived in Chattanooga, because I live down the road from you in Mount Eagle, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like Chattanooga. I met this man in Mount Eagle once. He was looking at this property, you know, and he looked lost, because he was lost.
Right.
And he told me his name, and that his grandfather had invested all this money in a product that he was advised not to invest in, called Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
And he got $1 billion, this grandpa, and he donated it to Chattanooga, and then that's how they did the revitalization.
Interesting. You know, the first Coca-Cola bottler is in Chattanooga. And continues to be. So when they finally were bottling it, I also lived in Nashville. So, you know, there were things about Chattanooga I liked, especially EPB, the Electronic Power Board, because the broadband was so great. There were other things about Chattanooga. You know, it's funny you mentioned revitalization. It seems to ebb and flow. Like, it'll go up and be nice for a few years, then it kind of falls back down, then it kind of comes back. But Mont Eagle's nice. Now, the old I-24, before they rerouted it, I used to love that Holiday Inn at the top of Mont Eagle there. And of course, University of the South in Suwannee, which a lot of people don't realize is a great school.
And, you know, I was, for a period of time, for 12 years, I was a professor there.
Were you really?
Yeah, when I got in mad in radio, I would go and teach. And then when I got mad at teaching, I would go back in radio.
That's a terrific school. It really is.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
And I love the campus. And, you know, it's one of those, to me, it's sort of like Ivy League of the South, and no one knows about it.
Yeah, it really, really is just a very special place. And
yeah.
Very beautiful, too.
Neat.
When you were in Chattanooga, do you remember, or did you work with a man, an announcer called Luther?
No, but I wasn't working in local radio.
Oh.
But no, where did Luther work? Was he at WFLI or GOW? Who is he?
Yeah, he sadly passed away just a few years ago, I think at the age of 90. And he was on the radio in Chattanooga for about 50 years.
Well, there was a guy. He was on at night, I think, Luther Massengill.
Oh, yeah, I think that's who it was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he actually was, before he died, the reason I thought of him, I think that he was inducted in the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago.
Oh, good.
But he wound up doing talk, I think, for a while. But anyway, originally he was doing nights at GOW AM 1150 Super Go Radio.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to add Talkfish to your list, if possible.
Well, good deal. I'm delighted.
And I will cancel the book.
Yes,
and,
please do. Please
do. Yeah. I'm going to talk to someone who's getting it for me for Christmas.
No, no. Tell them not to do it. You're going to get it for free.
Okay, I will.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Yeah, take care. Good to talk to you.
Okay, oh, wait, hold on. Let me give you John so you can tell him what your email address is so I can find it. All right, because I got to find that. And because I knew that Marshall wrote and I was looking. But like I say, when the list gets too big, then it's just like, oh, scrum all. You know, that's why I always say, no, you cannot send me, you know, like bills just online, you know, paperless. No, not paperless. I need a piece of paper if you think you're going to get money. So, and I know that argument goes on and on with a lot of people. All right, so 888-876-5593. Gary is in Austin. What you got for me, Gary?
Well, Raleigh, hey, a couple votes. And I want to agree with the rapper.
Ah, really? Okay. Very good.
The only way that song would sound good if it had the right processing. You know, but, and then, of course, Think.
Right.
That one.
That's going to be moving up the charts this year.
And An Open Letter to My Teenage Son.
Uh-huh.
We'll add that one. And when we're drinking coffee in the morning and we finish our coffee, one of us will invariably say, I have no coffee.
Oh, man.
About Hooked on a Feeling, the Ooga Chaga song, I'll throw my vote for that one. But I think that Jonathan King redid, I think I read this somewhere, that Jonathan King redid that first, and they heard that, and he did that, and then that's where they got it.
You know what? I would believe that. Knowing what I do about Jonathan King, I absolutely believe it. Because he was just twisted enough that would make all the sense in the world. I'm going to look for that now because I want to. And of course, Jonathan King at one time in Great Britain was all of the top 10. So he had to use different names and all that. And that's partly how he became Hedgehoppers Anonymous and a lot of other things. But yeah, sadly, he had his personal demons. But other than that, he was tremendously creative.
Yeah, I liked his stuff.
John says I have to shut up right now. Call me tomorrow night.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thanks.
Appreciate it. So I will on
Bye.
WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we've only got a couple minutes, so we're not going to do a bumper. We'll take your votes. But I was thinking, all right, yeah, Luther Massengill. I remember this guy from GOW, so I look him up, and there's somebody who's saying he's been at WDEF since 1941. I'm like, what? And so I've got to do my homework, but he might have been. But I'm telling you, this guy did nights on GOW. I'm just sure of it. But anyway, the guy does claim he's getting into the Hall of Fame, so he's got to be the same guy. All right. Confused, I tell you. All right. Let's see what we can do in moments. Got to be quick. So we've got JT and Aurora. What you voting for?
I'm voting for the Beach Boys version of Barbara Ann.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Why?
I like the Regents.
Right.
Much better.
Yeah, why did they have to do that to the Regents? Good choice. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, good deal. So now Stephanie and Madison's going to give us some votes. All right, Stephanie, what you got?
Okay. For the Love of Him by Bobby Martin.
Good choice.
God. Where Are You Going, Billy by Susan Jackson, the Poppy Family.
Okay, which way you going, Billy, I think. All right.
And then, let's see, the DeFranco Family.
Heartbeat is Love Beat.
Heartbeat.
Okay.
Yep. Have to throw in James Taylor's Ruination of Handyman.
Okay.
Plus James and Carly's Mockingbird totally destroyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Minimini.
Okay.
Give Me That Ding. And there's one more. Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep.
Oh, absolutely. Mac and Katie Kassoon. All right. Oh, very good. Disgusting. Fine choices. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
All right. Now, what else do we have? Okay, Chris is in Greenwood, South Carolina. So, Chris, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, since you ain't got time tonight,
I'll tell you what. If it's going to be long, here's the deal. Tomorrow, I'm on right after the game, and I think it'll be around 11 Central Time. So call me tomorrow night, and we'll talk as long as you want.
Okay, I'm on the Eastern time zone.
Well, then just add it at midnight. Midnight.
Call back midnight, right?
Yeah, I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
I'll do that.
All right, so yes, the Blackhawks are Blackhawking tomorrow, so I'll be on right after them, and according to the WGN radio schedule, it says 11 p.m. Central. And I thought it was going to be about 10:30, given how long the games usually last, and Carol, who does the world's best show prep, said that too. But I don't know. It says 11, so I'll be ready at 11. All right, now with that in mind, thank you for voting, and you can do it again tomorrow and at 11 Central. And you can do this until next Wednesday. And then the polls close for the annual polls. And then on Thanksgiving night, while you're eating turkey, we'll be playing back your turkeys. Don't worry, not all of them. Yeah, nobody would vote if they thought they had to hear them. All right. So we'll call that a wrap until then. So we thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. And we'll do it all again tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.